You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, and thanks for taking 30 minutes of your day, of your Tuesday, to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. That's what we're going to do. We're tuning in here today to God's frequency. God is always broadcasting. He's got a word for you now. That word is going to come here at the Last Supper, and that's where we're looking at here today, and that's kind of where we're at here in this little mini series that we're teaching here at church, and that is John chapters 14, 15, and 16. All of this stuff took place during this week. It's Passion Week here this week, with this Thursday being what's traditionally known as Maundy Thursday. That is the celebration of the Last Supper. Well, at that Last Supper is when the Lord gave his last sermon. Those chapters 14 through 17, you're going to hear a chapter 14 here coming up tomorrow. That'll play Wednesday and Thursday. Here now is something that also took place on that night. And that is when the Lord, as he sat around that table there, he said to them, because it says his spirit was vexed. And he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you is going to betray me." And they all, except for Peter, all asked the question, "Is it I?" Even Judas asked them that question, "Is it I?" And that really needs to be the right response. There's two ways to respond to that. When the Son of God says to you here today on this Tuesday, when Jesus himself says to you on this Tuesday, "Truly, one of you is going to betray me," your answer can either be, "Is it I?" Or it could be like Peter's and say, "You know what, Lord? I don't care if all of these other people betray you. I will never do that." Those are the two possible answers to that question. Here's part two now of this sermon, "Is it I?" And he had the money box. This is John 12:6. He said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. So this is why I took you here, because Matthew doesn't give you these little details like John does. Where, like I said, this is a director's cut. We're adding these layers onto the story, taking some from different gospels. So again, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box. And he used to take what was put into it. But Jesus said, now he probably said this loudly, and there probably should be an exclamation point there. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." All right. Now Judas is humiliated. Okay? Let's read, flip over one chapter to John chapter 13. Verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." All right, you see, he listened to the wrong voices when he was humiliated.
Look, when people do those things to you or offend you like this, they're attacking the pride in you. That's why we get so offended at this. They attack the pride in you. And Satan pushes that button often. Now, come to think of it, I wonder here, Darren, I wonder if the Lord Jesus did this deliberate to him. Something we would ponder in my office during the week. I think he did this deliberate to get this ball started, to get this ball rolling here. He said this deliberate because he knew he was a worldly caribou. And he knew that pride was going to be his downfall. I think he did this deliberately to cause this. Look at what he says. He says, leave her alone, is what he said. Look at the chain reaction that just started by him being humiliated like this. You see, pride reared up its ugly head. And now you see you're operating in the flesh because you're full of pride. And then here comes the whisperer. See, when you're walking in the flesh like this, this is when you start hearing these voices. Because you're operating in the flesh because you've been, remember that's our buzz, offended. Once your pride is offended like this, this is what happened here to Judas. You're operating in the flesh. And this sin, pride, opens up the door for this to happen to you, to happen to us. Now, back to our main text here in Matthew. They'll keep a finger on John 13. We're going to go back there. Matthew 26, verse 17. I dream this sound at night. I hear pages flipping during the night. Matthew 26, 17. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. This is verse 18. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. All right, here we are. It's the Last Supper. It's about to do what we're about to do here in just about 10 minutes. Have Holy Communion. This was the very first communion here. But I wanted you to see what's transpired behind the scenes. Judas he was humiliated and he let his pride open up the door for Satan to come in and whisper lies in his ear. And it's the same thing as what he does with you and me. Verse 20 again. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, or amen, I say to you, that one of you will betray me. All right, now Matthew, the gospel writer, is content on writing like Joe Friday from Dragnet, who says, just the facts, man. But John gives us Jesus' heart. Keep your place there, but let me read just one verse to you. John 13, 21. Now, when Jesus had said this, it says, he was troubled in spirit. And he testified and said, verily, verily, or amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, exclamation point, meaning Jesus is very upset about this. He was troubled in spirit. Now, verse 22, again, out of Matthew, back to Matthew, chapter 26, verse 22, it says, and they were exceedingly sorrowful. But each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Would you say that, Darren? Am I the one that's going to do it to you, Pastor? Will it be me? Will I be the one that calls the ACLU on you? Would you do that? How about you, Tim? Would you ask me the same? If I asked the same question, I said, one of you was going to betray me, leading to death, would you say it? Would you say, is it I? Or Bill? Or Bill? Where are my deacons at? How about you, Dwayne? Steve? How about my own wife? One of you is going to betray me. Is it I, Pastor? Am I going to betray you? If I said to any of you, you are going to betray me, lead into my death, what would you answer? Would you be able to say to me, is it I? But when Peter says, nope, it ain't me, I'd never do that. You see, Peter is the only one that says no. When Peter says, no, it won't be me, all of us at the church for the past 2,000 years chuckle about it, and we call him hasty with his words and a little bit too bold. So you would never do that as you declare, but yet Peter's denial was hasty. Question, what about yours? What about your denial? Isn't that a tad hasty as well? Look, the only guy who didn't deny it is the guy who did it. So I say to you, church, one of you is going to deny me. One of you is going to, let's say, a couple years from now, when preaching the word is going to get pastors killed. And one of you is going to go to the ACLU and you're going to rat me out. And I'm just going to tell you in advance, one of you is going to, would you say that to me? How about you, Gene? We work side by side every day. Gene, someone in this church is going to betray me. Would you say to me, am I going to do it, Pastor? Am I going to do it? Matter of fact, Jesus' proclamation was so unexpected, they had to look around at one another to find out what in tarnation he was talking about. Verse 23, he answered and said, it is he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? You've got to be joking, right? You've got to be joking me. Was he serious? Or was he just plain ignorant? Even Judas asked, is it I? And you won't? That's like one of you, that's like saying, one of you is going to shoot President John F. Kennedy. And then Lee Harvey Oswald turns around and says, is it I? You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be joking. Am I going to shoot him? Am I going to shoot the president? We say that's outrageous and we scoff at that. We say, oh, he could never do that. And yet, don't you do the very same thing when you ask that question? If you refuse to ask that question, if you refuse to think that you're capable of doing this, like all the other 11, the one guy who said, I'm not capable of it, is the one guy who did it. The one guy who said he was not capable of betraying the Son of God, the man in the glory, the one guy who said he'd never do it, is the one guy who did it. Now, Jesus said to him, you've said it. All right, now let's go back to the Gospel of John to chapter 13. This time I'm going to read it from the New American Standard, which gets it right. It's on the handout if you want to follow along there. John chapter 13, starting in verse 21. John 13, 21. Now when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you is going to betray me." So the disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know who he was talking about. Now there was, reclining on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now Simon Peter gestured to him, you know, the old elbow in the ribs, and said, "Tell us who it is he's talking about." So he, that's John, leaning back on Jesus' bosom, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Then he said, "It is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him." Sounds like Carrabba's, doesn't it? Don't you love just dipping that morsel there in that sauce? I think we need to go there today. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took it and he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Now, after the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Now, the New American Standard, along with my Bible, don't mean to blow my own horn, but they're the only ones that have got this right. Because I'm a stickler for words, you see. This Greek word, oun, O-U-N, 99,000 out of 99,001 times is translated therefore and not then. So, let me keep reading. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." All right, question. Who is Jesus speaking to? He's speaking to Satan. He's not speaking to Judas. Notice how the word therefore changes our understanding of this text. Instead of then, after the morsel, Satan then entered into him, then Jesus said. No, it's after the morsel, Satan entered into him, therefore Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Which the next verse attests to, verse 28. Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him, because they didn't get this. He was talking to the devil. He wasn't talking to Judas. He was talking to Satan when he said, "What you do, do quickly." Verse 29, for some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, "Buy the things we have need of for the feast," or else that he should give something to the poor. But again, notice how the word therefore changes the meaning of this text. All right. What's a person to do? Since, as it's been proven, that I am capable, since it's been proven that you are capable of committing this sin, what's a person to do? And here's the answer from the Word. 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, "Let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." Meaning, watch out now. I think of that old song that Elvis and the Grateful Dead sing, "You ain't so big, that's just about all, big boss man." Let him who thinks that he stands, that is him who says to him, "You know what, you might commit this, but I won't. I'm strong at these weak places here." That couldn't happen to me. It might happen to you, but you see, it won't happen to me. And he says, let him who thinks that he stands, let this person who thinks that he's okay, that this could never happen to him, be careful now. Watch out. You are not immune to this. And this, we put no confidence in the flesh. That's what brought me back here. We were just looking at that with the Apostle Paul a few weeks ago in Philippians. So, Don't think that you're incapable of doing this. The correct response was, is it I? The incorrect, prideful, I'm okay response was, not me. You might do it, but not me. I'd never do that. Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And if God's servant ever said to you, one of you is going to cheat on your wife. One of you is going to be unfaithful to your husband. One of you is going to fall. I would say that the correct answer to that is it I? Will I be the one? Is it I? Will I do this? Will it be me that does this? You see, the possibility of this happening to me ought to drive me to my knees, and you as well. It ought to drive us to our knees. So, I got 180 seconds before Luann comes in. I think I timed this pretty good, didn't I? Stay humble. Always remember that your flesh, your physical body is not redeemed. Your spirit man is redeemed. Not your flesh. Sin has got a 99-year lease rent-free on the inside of you. And it's never going away, ever, until you die and leave this world or he comes back first, whatever happens first. And the possibility of this happening to you should drive you closer to God. Now, the biblical solution is Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are contrary to the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are contrary to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to. See, that's the answer, is to walk in the Spirit, is to walk with God. I've always wondered what that means. Well, walking, to walk with God means he's going somewhere, right? If someone is walking, they're going somewhere. You see, to walk in the Spirit, to walk with God, like Enoch, remember, it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Because God beamed me up, Scotty, and he was gone. He transported him. Walk with God. You see, when you are walking with God, you can't say to God, well, hold on there a minute while I go over here and cheat on my wife. Hold on a minute, Lord, while I go over here and snort a little bit of this. Hold on, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and have me a little whiskey. If you're walking with God, you're not going to fall prey to this. I didn't say you need to become a monk. I said you need to walk with God. Go in the direction God's going. Do the things that would please him. Don't do the things that wouldn't please him. If you're walking with God, you cannot fall prey to this. He's telling you, that's not me. He's saying this. Walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the lusts of your flesh. They are opposed to each other, the spirit and the flesh, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. All right, so, trust and rely on the strength that is available to you by the power of God. Just read in our devotional this morning that we do here at the church, Psalm 68:34. It said, ascribe strength to God. He'll give you the strength for you to get this victory in your life. Just don't say that this can't happen to you, because it can. And the solution out of this is to be walking with God, not going in the other direction. Put no confidence in the flesh. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That is, God, I need your help to get through this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I don't have the power on my own to get through this. I need your help. Now remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got what it takes to get this victory in your life. Walk with God. Go in the direction that he's going. I heard Billy Graham say on TV not that long ago, he said, in my flesh, I am capable of committing any sin under the sun. Unquote. That's what he said. So, walk with God, and it won't be you. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we praise you. What a humbling look. That we're so susceptible to denying even the Son of God. Thank you that our Jesus, Lord Jesus, didn't die for nothing. He didn't die in vain. That by his blood we can have forgiveness and remission of sins, Lord. We cling to the cross. We run to you. Lord, we pray that during these times you'll help us. Give us the strength. Help us to see that we're capable. Help us not to be prideful. Help us not to rely and trust in ourselves, but to trust in you. We exalt you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.